the other impact is really when you think about those students who are seeing themselves represented in the curriculum sometimes for the first time. So, for example, we had a student with a non-binary sibling who saw an example of a non-binary person in their school curriculum for the very first time in our box. And to see that represented and then to have all of their classmates actually see it and understand it was so affirming and validating it.
Welcome to the Ripples of Radical Generosity podcast by Coralis, a global community of women and non-binary people making real progress on the world's to-do list. Together, we're transforming the world to become more equitable and sustainable.
Hello, everyone. It's Lauren Walsh, a Coralis Development Guide today, and I'm very excited to be speaking with Shelby Kretz, the founder of Little Justice Leaders. And welcome, Shelby. Great to see you.
Thank you so much, Lauren.
So tell us about yourself. We are a 2024 Coralis Venture. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And you and I are already working together, and it's been great. And I'm just for the rest of our audience today, tell us about who you are, Little Justice Leaders, and you know, how did you come about as a founder of this very inspiring venture?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm so excited to be here and to be a part of Coralis. My name is Shelby, and as Lauren just mentioned, I am the creator of Little Justice Leaders. I am an educator at heart. So I've spent over a decade working with parents and teachers and educators and school leaders. And the idea for Little Justice Leaders came about almost 6 years ago now. So we've been running for 6 years. And what we do is we provide learning resources for parents and teachers who want to teach their kids about social justice. So we focus on elementary school kids and providing useful resources in the form of a monthly subscription box for parents and teachers.
And can you tell us a bit about that monthly subscription box? If I'm a parent, what am I going to find in that subscription box?
Yeah. So every month you'll have a different theme of social justice. So that could be anything from anti-racism to environmental sustainability. And we cover, you know, religious diversity, gender identity, LGBTQ plus identities, immigration and refugee experiences, disabilities and neurodiversity, pretty much anything you can think of under the realm of social justice. And in the box, we're going to make it super simple and kid friendly so that you can take it out of the box and feel confident knowing that you can have these conversations. So what you'll find is a children's book that's going to introduce the topic to the kids. You're going to find a set of information cards for you, the adult, to make sure you feel comfortable. That's going to include things like tips on how to approach this topic and conversation starters to jump right in with your kids. And you're also going to find a craft or activity, some hands-on thing that you can do with the kids while you're having these conversations to really, reinforce the lesson that they're learning. And then also a piece of artwork. So that might be a sticker, a magnet, a poster, something fun that the kids can put up and remember the lesson with.
Sounds compelling. I have a couple of people already in mind that I'm talked to. So we like to understand a bit more about your journey as an entrepreneur. Yeah. It's really fascinating that you're in the school system. And what was the moment or what did that look like for you when you realized this is potentially an unmet need? And how did you validate that that could actually become a business?
Yeah. So the moment I realized it was a real problem was around the time of the 2016 election. And I was working in schools. I also had, you know, a lot of friends who were parents, colleagues who were parents. And I started to hear again and again, I don't know what to do about these negative messages that my kids are hearing in the media. And I'm sure as you recall, that was a time when there was a lot of negative political media happening, a lot of, hateful commentary in the news, on TV, where kids were seeing it. Nowadays, it's even worse because of the increase in social media. But so that's when I realized, okay, this is a problem. And it wasn't until 2 years later when I finally thought, you know what, I think I could help with this, you know, hearing the problem over and over and over again for years. And finally, I said, maybe I could do something. So I started an Instagram account and I just started putting out resources. And I wanted to see, are people going to find it useful? And I got an amazing response and just so much interest. And so that's when I said, okay, we're going to do a subscription box, and really kind of launched it right away.
Is it fair to say that you've also built this with your parents' input? How has the process evolved for you in terms of creation?
Absolutely. So like I said, in the beginning, it was really about, you know, are people going to find this useful, getting their feedback right away? And that's always been like part of our values. So with every single box, asking parents and teachers, hey, was this helpful? What was helpful? What wasn't? What could we do better? And now what we do is every single month we have what we call our content experts. Mm-hmm. And they are people who have lived experience on the topic. So for example, if we're covering disabilities, these are folks with disabilities who are mm-hmm. also activists and advocates in the disability space. And they actually oversee all of the content creation. And oftentimes these folks are from our community. Their parents are teachers who are subscribers in our community, or just like fans and supporters of our work, or recommended by someone in our community. So it's definitely like a very much a give and take process where the parents and teachers are collaborating and contributing to the box, you know, and vice versa.
What are they telling you is the impact of being part of Little Justice Leaders?
So one of the biggest things I hear from the adults involved in this process is how much they wish they would have had it as a kid, right? So this is kind of like an imagined impact, you could say. I'm thinking about what this would have changed for me looking back on my life trajectory if I would have had this affirming, empowering, you know, educational tool, and if my parents or teachers would have used something like this. So there's kind of that impact of, you know, looking back on their life and saying how much it would have made an impact. But then what I love too are the stories of the little ones who, for example, will start correcting their teachers or their parents when they are using non-inclusive language, for example, and they start to call you in, and it becomes like this really fun conversation where the kids are learning and exploring alongside you, because so many of us are still learning about these topics and unlearning every day. And then I think the other impact is really when you think about those students who are seeing themselves represented in the curriculum sometimes for the first time. So for example, we had one third grade teacher who's had a student with a non-binary sibling who saw an example of a non-binary person in the school curriculum for the very first time in our box. And that student brought up to their teacher how impactful it was because they have a non-binary sibling, and their classmates never had the language to be able to talk about their siblings' pronouns and that kind of thing. And to see that represented and then to have all of their classmates actually see it and understand it was so affirming and validating. And then, you know, multiply that by the thousands of kids who are using these boxes every month, and the potential impact is really powerful.
That's really impressive. What kind of challenges or learnings are you taking away up till this point?
After 6 years, there's a lot to learn, right?
Oh my gosh. I was like, I don't know where to start. In 6 years, it's a learning and unlearning journey, and has been for 6 years. I've probably faced challenges and learned something new every single day since I've started this business. But some of the big takeaways for me, one has just been like the power of community, like how we talked about earlier, the community is what drives our work, obviously supports our work, but also co-creates the actual resources that we put out. And the power of that has been so incredible to push Little Justice Leaders forward and to help us kind of spread this mission and, you know, move towards becoming a real movement for change. And I think a lot of that comes from us really trying to approach the work authentically. So that means owning when we make mistakes, which everyone does, and acknowledging it and creating space for people to have difficult conversations. So kind of it's just this journey of opening up and being vulnerable and encouraging our community to do the same. And I think the authenticity has really built a sense of trust with our community that has allowed us to explore and try new things and also, you know, get their feedback and opinions and they're very honest, which I so deeply appreciate, because I feel like that honesty is a reflection of their trust and their care and their genuine desire to see this mission move forward. So that's kind of all over the place, but in terms of challenges and lessons, there are so many, but that's really the core one that I really come back to, is this community and just showing up authentically as best as I can every day, which is always a learning process.
And how has the teacher population been in terms of the receptivity? I know we have quite a few ed tech companies, and there are some challenges right now in the entire ecosystem. So I'm curious as to how things are going with you and your teacher segment.
Yeah, so there are huge challenges with teachers right now. Teacher turnover, so many teachers are leaving the classroom. We're seeing that represented in our subscriber base as well. We're just, you know, folks are canceling, and the reason is that they're leaving the classroom. Mm-hmm. And this is a massive national trend. And I think pretty much every education company is feeling the impact of teacher turnover and teacher burnout right now. And then, of course, you know, affordability for teachers. We know right. Teachers are very underpaid. And so one thing we're really trying to move towards is creating a curriculum that we could sell directly to schools so that mm-hmm. teachers can benefit from the curriculum without having to pay out of pocket to get it.
Okay, so that's a really interesting pivot, which I'm sure we'll be working on in the coaching, which is
absolutely.
So speaking of communities, what has it been like to be embraced by the Corliss community thus far? You were voted on, you were selected.
This has been such an unexpected and exciting process. I truly never imagined I would be selected when I threw my name in for the community. So I'm so grateful, but it has been an incredible experience so far. One thing that I've really experienced as an entrepreneur, and I think a lot of folks do, is just that loneliness of working alone so much for so long. And even though, like I said, our work is super collaborative with our community, at the end of the day, I'm still spending the large majority of my time by myself at home in my home office, and not really connecting with folks who have the same types of challenges, like entrepreneurs, right? Who kind of understand really what the process is. So being in Corliss has been so great to just connect with folks who really care and genuinely are committed to making the world better through business and organizations, but also like really understand the challenges, the processes, what it is like to be an entrepreneur and run a business every day, because I think it can look very different from the outside than what it feels like for us who are actually doing this work every day.
Makes so much sense. And we have the UnSummit coming up with also the Venture Retreat. So we're so excited. Hopefully you'll be there as well with us. So what's next for Little Justice Leaders? What are you going to be focusing on in the next year?
Yes, great question. So, I mean, it really is day by day, so we'll see. But like I mentioned, I really want to work on pivoting to be able to provide resources directly to schools to kind of take that burden off of teachers. We're also seeing kind of just in general folks getting a little burnt out or weary of subscriptions just because the economy is very up and down, and mostly down. And so being able to offer other products and other solutions that might be more affordable or just less of a long-term commitment for folks so that we can make this more accessible to more people. So that's going to be our goal over the next year. Figuring out how exactly we're going to do that is going to be a process, but it's, you know, what I'll be focusing on for the next year.
Sounds great. Accessibility and along with impact. Great. So Shelby, if people want to get in touch with you and learn more about Little Justice Leaders, what can they do?
Great. So to learn more about Little Justice Leaders, you can find us at littlejusticeleaders.com online. You can also find us on most social media platforms, but primarily we're active on Instagram at Little Justice Leaders. So we have tons of free resources, tons of free content for parents, teachers, and really anyone who's interested in social justice. Feel free to reach me by DM on Instagram, or you can always email me, shelby@littlejusticeleaders.com, or like I said, pretty much any other social media platform as well. We're accessible there.
Sounds great. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you for listening to the Ripples of Radical Generosity podcast. Let us know what you thought of the episode. and share this podcast with your friends. We invite you to join a global community of radically generous women and non-binary folks at www.corliss.world.